help. Thank God for the rain. We were driving to church tonight, and I said, you know, look, Kathy, the air is so clean, and the Lord just washed the air and the dust, and for what little rain we get, we need to be thankful, don't we? Hosea chapter 7, the prophet's going to lift up his voice like a trumpet. He's clearing off a spot, and I'm just going to try to say what God says, but we'll read verses 1 through 7, really broke into two sections here, 1 through 7 and then 8 through 16. Do you have Hosea chapter 7? And young ladies, thank you for singing. Blessed Assurance. That was great. One thing good about this microphone, if you get a frog in your throat or you get choked or something. So there is a method in my madness right there. Amen. Hosea chapter 7. The Bible says, God says, when I would have healed, when I would have. I believe he wants to heal us. Amen. But he didn't do it here. He was going to bring some judgments, some reproof. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered and the wickedness of Samaria, for they committed falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners, for they have made ready their heart like an oven whilst they lie in wait. Their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for that blessed assurance that only you can give, Jesus. Thank you for filling the house this morning. Thank you for the, like the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of Christ unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Lord, surely there's power in your gospel. You're still in the business of saving souls and helping your children, Lord, to grow in grace. And so even tonight, Lord, just help me to have a little bit of that Hosea prophet in me, Lord, to give tonight even, to be a help and a blessing tonight. We sure love you. Thank you for these people you've assembled together in this church, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what, talking about the oven, Kathy, there, the oven's hot. I remember years ago, we were having church, and I can't remember if it was right before the service started, Seth, or right after, but my wife came up to me frantically and she says, I think I left the oven on or something on, you know. We got in that little red Prius. We had a red Prius with a chrome strip on the bottom. It had squirrels in it, you know, that kept it going down the road. I didn't care about the house. We lived in a gated community, Cordobella. Remember when we lived out there on Sun City West, Cordobella? Didn't give a flip about the house, anything we had in there except the Bible. All I could think about is my dog. And I floorboarded that little Prius. I said, these squirrels will never, they'll hate me. I hate to even admit this, Mark, but I was probably running 100 mile an hour. You like that? Amen. I was running that little red Prius about 100 mile an hour down 303. Oh, we were praying, oh God, emergency prayers. I came flying up in that, you know, they have a gated thing and everything. We go on stomping that little Prius, you know, kicking that horse. But we pull up there in the house. I don't see any flames or smoke or anything. I said, oh, no. I've destroyed this Prius. It'll never be the same. I traded it. I abused that Prius trying to get home. And guess what? The oven was not on. It was hot. It wasn't on at that time. So anyway, I've entitled this message here tonight, Hosea 7, Stop Playing Around With God and Get Real and Get Right. Stop playing around with God. Get real and get right. If you study it, it deals with sin. There's multitudes of sins here. But hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. And, you know, lies and falsehoods. And hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is like you're putting a mask on. You know, it's deceitful. It's Jesus preached hard against hypocrisy. You knock a lot of doors and pass out tracts to people and talk to them about the Lord. And a major reason that comes up is, well, I don't go to church anymore. You know why? It's full of hypocrites. Well, what are we? You look in the mirror, we're all hypocrites to a degree. Can I get a witness right there? To a degree, I mean, but God says over in Matthew, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, this is a charge to Israel. In verse 2, and they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Can I say this tonight? God knows all about us. Every single one of us. Amen. And he's omniscient, like we were preaching today, but they commit falsehoods, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. Hypocrisy means false pretense and feigned. What brought Timothy to the Lord over there in the New Testament was the faith, the unfeigned faith of his grandmother and his mother, Eunice and Lois, right? The unfeigned. Unfeigned means you're real. Feigned means you're a hypocrite and you're false and deceitful. There's besetting sins here in verse 2. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. The word beset means to surround them and enclose them. Kind of defines it here in the scripture. Beset them about, you see. They are before my face. It's like in the Lord's face. And, you know, God is so patient and so merciful. Can I get a witness there? I mean, he really is. The missionary David Combs was telling me, if we even knew the goodness of God and his love, we would explode. Just to think how much God loves this universe, the whole, if we really understood that, the whole world would explode, wouldn't it? But God gave the ultimate sacrifice. He puts up with a lot. Amen. But when we continue in sin, well, what's Romans say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, right? God forbid. And this is kind of the situation Israel was in and all the areas, Ephraim and those people in that day. And God was to the point, He's going to reprove their sin. Now let's look in verse 7. They are all hot as an oven and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. By the way, keep calling to the Lord. Amen. Keep going to him. Keep praying. We'll wrap up with that, what we should do when there's things in our heart that is not right. But look at verse 8. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Now, we have some ladies that like to bake and such. They're going to bake pies. They're going to bake cakes and things like that. But if you just put a cake or anything in an oven and you don't turn it, what's going to happen? It's going to burn on the outside. But if you're not careful, it'll be just doughy and undone and yucky on the inside, won't it? And so this is the way they were. It was a mess. And so a cake not turned. Now verse 9 through 16. Verse 9, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here, and they're upon him, yet he knoweth not. So a lot of hypocrisy and senselessness going on. Raw on the inside on the cake, burn on the outside. And then it talks about the gray hairs. I asked the teenagers here at prayer time this morning, I said, what is the hoary head? And they said, I forgot what the hoary head is. Do you know what the hoary head is? See, gray hairs. Amen. Look around. You see the gray hairs. They got a hoary head. Victor, you got a hoary head. Mark, you got a hoary head. Brother Gray. I got a little salt and pepper going on up here. But now it can be good or it can be bad. Did you read your Proverbs this morning? Okay, go over to Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs. Verse 31. If you have gray hair or the hoary head, it's good if, there's conditional here, verse 31, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the righteous way. So if you're living like the devil and living wicked, living in sin, continuing in sin, continue to mock God, you have a gray hair or white hair, guess what? It's not a good thing, amen? Back in Hosea, the gray hairs, verse 9, 9b, gray hairs are here and they're upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face. So he talks about hypocrisy. He talks about committing falsehood in verse 1. He talks about this wickedness has beset them about. And so the title, back to the title, stop playing around with this type of thing, wickedness, unrighteousness. Stop playing around with God. Get real. If there's pride there, admit it and get right. Get real and get right. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate. And yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look. First off the bat. Proud look. Now he talks about discord, but a proud look. God, he's serious about that, isn't he? And may the Lord help us. A proud look doth he hate. Proverbs 8:13. I'll read it to you. You don't have to go there. If you want to, you can. It's a blessing to see some new Christians finding their way through the Bible, walking through the Bible. But here's a great verse to consider in Proverbs 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. So if the Lord hates it, arrogant look, proud, pride in our life, then we should really get real and get right, and we should not play around with the Lord, should we, on these things, because he's serious about that. Stop playing around with God. Back in Hosea, please. Verse 10, and the pride of Israel testified to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all of this. I try to tell new Christians, I'm looking at Gary down here right now, eyeball to eyeball. Gary, one thing I try to encourage new Christians, especially because when you're growing in the Lord, you always get attacked of the devil. I mean, they woke up this morning trying to get a shower and get to church and no hot water. And the breaker didn't fix it. It wasn't the breaker. It was a hot water tank. But I always try to tell new Christians, AJ, just keep getting up. A righteous man falleth down seven times and yet riseth up again. I told Joshua, I said, Joshua, just because you're saved doesn't mean you'll have just an easy road, but God will be with you. I encouraged him back here in the baptistry. That was a picture-perfect baptism. I said, we should use that as an example how people get. He was just, it was great. God did that. Amen. But it was a blessing. He came up out of the water rejoicing. I wish you could all saw it from my angle, because it just was, woo, God showed up on his face. And it was a blessing. And his family down here to witness it. But just keep getting up. God hates pride. Let's read a little bit more. They didn't continue to seek him. Verse 11, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt and they go to Assyria. Go back to the way they came out of. God saved you out of a lot of that stuff. You don't need to go back. You need to press forward. Can I get a witness right there? Press on. Press on. And don't go back. Verse 12, when they shall go, I will spread my net upon them, I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe, there it is. Woe. When God says woe, whoo, that's old time prophet preaching right there. We should consider that. Woe unto them. My Bible has an exclamation point. How about yours? Woe. For they have fled from me. What happens when we flee from the Lord? Destruction unto them, exclamation mark, because they have transgressed against me. Why would you want to transgress against the Lord? He's done nothing but help you and bless you and pray for you and love you and keep you. There's one person you want on your side, and that's the Lord. Amen. He's never done anything wrong to you but try to help you. Sometimes the ones that you love the most, Paul said this, the Apostle Paul, the ones that you love the most, sometimes they'll stab you in the back and hurt you. Have you ever been there? The ones that you've done the most for, the ones that you've prayed for and visited them in the hospital and just loved them, and then they turn. Remember all the times the Lord has loved you. Hey! Manifold times, multiple times the Lord has come through for you and answered your prayer and been there when we shouldn't deserve it. We should have already been dead, amen? But God was merciful and compassionate when we didn't deserve it. For they have fled from me, destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me, though I have redeemed them. Yet they have spoken lies against me, and they have not cried unto me with their heart. What I find in the Bible, reading through the Bible, and if you have been a Christian for a long time, you've been saved for a long time, you know that when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, he raised up a judge, didn't he? I read this morning, early, that he raised up a left-handed judge named Ehud. And he was going to deliver the children of Israel because they cried unto him. And Ehud went in the parlor. They shut the door. He was left-handed. He made a dagger, a long dagger. He put it on his right thigh. And Ehud said, I got a message from the king, from the Lord. And so he got closer to Ehud, the king of Eglon there, Eglon or whatever. And he put his left hand on his right thigh and pulled that dagger out. And he killed that king, that wicked king. He thrust it into his belly. The Bible said the dirt fled out. Gross, huh? His belly was so big, it collapsed around his dagger, and he couldn't get his dagger out. Ehud, the left-handed judge. But the point is this, the point. Okay. They cried unto the Lord, and God gave them a deliverer. And friends, if you cry unto him, he'll give you a deliverer. He'll be your deliverer. Amen. Verse 14. And they have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, they assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. I don't know if we have anybody here that went through the Great Depression. I'm pretty sure that was in the 20s, am I right? Yes. But you know, mamas and daddies didn't know if they were going to have enough food to feed their children. I'm not saying they didn't get through, because God was faithful then, just as he is faithful now today, but it probably wasn't near as what they were used to eating, and you couldn't hardly find a job, they tell me, back in the Depression. And so if you didn't grow it, hey, it was hard times in the Great Depression. People lost a lot of money. I was told they jumped out of the windows and killed themselves because they lost everything. Aren't you glad as a born-again child of God, you can never lose God? Amen. He's got you. But they were crying out with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, verse 14, they assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Let's finish. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. Don't push God. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. It's not what it looks like. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. So tonight, dear family, dear church, stop playing around with God. If there's something in your heart that you've not got right with, why don't you make it right? Even tonight, get real. Be real and get right. How do you do that? In closing, not playing around with God. Go to 1 John. I'm looking forward, church, what God's going to do in this missions conference. He has to do it. And certainly it's with God, there's nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. 1 John 1, are you there? Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, what does the word confess mean? Young people, to agree with God, right? To own up to it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll clean you up, give you a bath, give you a new suit of clothes to put on, or for your ladies, a new dress or a new suit, apparel, if you will. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, verse 10, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, like chapter 2, 1 and 2, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation. He's our substitute. He's our atonement. Yes, that's Jesus. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He was a propitiation for Israel. And he could have got right, but God used Hosea, that old-time prophet, to tell them and to show them. Now we'll close with this over in James. Go to James. Hebrews, James. There's Hebrews. James chapter 1. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See, he's drawn away. Verse 15. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. I preach all the time, temptation is not a sin, but yielding to temptation. And that's why we need to pray, church. Listen, I told Gary and Denise, I said, they were asking about prayer, questions about prayer. And I said, well, we should pray. Lord, keep us from temptation. Lead us not into temptation like the Lord told us to pray in that model prayer. Now, where was I? James 1, 18, 14 and 15. Lust hath conceived, verse 15. It bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is what? Bringeth forth what? What is that? Write in your Bible. LSD. Lust, sin, and death. And that's what happens. And I'd like to close out by just reading James chapter 4, because we talked about pride. That was one of the sins of Israel. I'd like to read James chapter 4 for us all. Verse 1, starting in verse 1. Just follow along, then we'll have the invitation. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? See, that's the way Israel was. They were just full of that wickedness. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Ye have not because ye what? Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. In other words, that ye may consume it upon your lust. It's not for God's glory or his will or anything like that. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? The word enmity means enemy. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. I really believe in all my heart, if Israel would have turned and they would have humbled themselves, just like the Lord said here, that he would have been there for them to help them. Be afflicted and mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. If we say that, like this scripture says, we're full of pride, aren't we, church? We're going to do this. We don't know. If the Lord will, we will. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's stand.